Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Hello.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, glad you could join us this morning. This is old Buddy Bill with Inside Outdoors.
And this is old Don Jordan with Inside Outdoors.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Rich Reardon in here in the control room.
Oh, my gosh.
Twiddling those knobs
he's
again.
He's controlling.
Yeah, he's pushing buttons.
Trying.
Yeah. He's a button pusher.
And we've got a guest, so why don't we go ahead and introduce him, too?
Yes, sir. We got a guest. By golly, he's been calling in pretty regular about every week, and we're tickled to death to meet him, and that's John from over in Owen County. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, buddy. I'm glad to see you here this morning.
Yeah, nice to have you live and in the studio.
Well, I'm tickled to get the invitation. I enjoy bothering you guys by phone, but now I can bother you in person.
Well, you're not bothering us any. In fact, you got some pretty good information in the past, so, you know, we're always glad to hear you. Hear the phone ring and you on the other end.
Yes, and you know, you always, when we have call in folks that do call in regularly, you always wonder what they look like. So we're glad to be able to see you. You're just a regular looking guy. You got a nice beard, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's eligible, ladies.
I might be a regular looking to some, but I feel my years a little bit.
Oh, well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, don't we all?
I just pulled up out there, and I seen John walk down the sidewalk, but I didn't know who he was to stop him, to tell him he was going in the wrong direction.
Well, I was looking for the door. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, they broadcast us out on the street out there, you know. That surprised the heck out of me the first time I heard that. I thought, holy cow, you know. You mean people know we're in here?
Well, I guess they do.
They must.
Well, it's been here for a long time.
It has been.
It's been here for quite a while.
Yeah, it has. And I don't know how long. It must have been in the, what, late, or in the 80s, 70s,
ooh,
late 80s?
70s, probably.
Oh, so late
70s. I don't know. It's been here a good while.
Yeah.
I've listened to you guys since I retired, and I've really enjoyed you just have scattered topics, and I never know what I'm going to hear next.
You don't know what you're going to hear from here. Where'd you retire from, John?
I worked the last 17 years. I worked at Cook.
Oh, okay.
And I worked Cook Medical and retired from there to take care of my wife when she became ill.
Uh-huh.
Well, how about that? A cook man.
A cook man.
We got a lot of those in Bloomington.
Well, I did a lot of things before I went to Cook. I didn't go to Cook till I was 45.
Oh, well,
so, yeah. So I was a late starter, but they treated me real well, and I was happy to be there.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that.
They employ a lot of people. And
yeah. They do, and employing more all the time.
Well, I went there for insurance. Actually, my wife caused my going there and caused me retiring because it was her health both times.
Well, you can't hardly afford to retire or quit or leave or whatever on the county insurance.
Yeah.
The insurance eats you up.
Yep. it's pretty high.
Oh, it is. And, yeah, a lot of people, well, I know one's going to retire. Well, I think he said next year's April or something like that. And he's the only reason he's still working, he's 70 years old, is due to the insurance.
Right.
He said that, you know, insurance, and I know it just eats you up.
Well, I have to put in a plug here for the Veterans Administration healthcare system and say that is a single payer system, which is what we all need, and you wouldn't have to worry about those high insurance premiums. And it's probably not going to happen because of the politics involved.
Politics, yes, that's going to kill.
But that's what we need.
Right.
It's what everybody else in the world has. Why not us?
Why not us? That's right.
Right. Well, in any case, good old VA.
Yeah. Well, at least they're around helping a lot of people.
Well, you know, outdoor topics this week, it keeps popping up in the news here and there, these boatload of people that drowned in White River this past week.
Isn't that awful?
Five of them, I think.
No life jackets. Yeah. Couldn't swim.
And a kid.
And kids.
And
adults. I mean, none of them had a life jacket.
And the adult that jumped in to save them drowned too. How many times does that happen?
Well, that's not uncommon.
No, it is not.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, people that even think they can swim pretty well aren't equipped to pull somebody out of the water.
Well, you know what the Red Cross says? This is from my lifeguard days. You reach with a long pole, then you throw a rope or a life buoy ring, and then you finally go. The last thing you do is get in the water. So you got to resort to better methods, and people need to be better educated. Of course, these folks might have been immigrants and had no idea about.
Well, they were Mexican and
water
here
saving.
On a visa.
Well,
or that's what the paper said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry about that.
And they didn't know the river, I'm sure.
Well, being ill-prepared in the water is very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, sure.
You're right,
John. Sure is.
While we're talking about rivers, I'm going to ask John there. Is White River over around Spencer there, is it cleaned up any to what it was? It was pretty filthy.
It is. It looks a lot better.
Good.
And the water quality is testing normal for a river. I mean, it's not pure, clean drinking water. But they did a lot of work on the shorelines over the last few years. And to be honest with you, I think the floods kind of cleaned up a lot of it.
Well, it probably has, yeah.
Pushed some of that contaminated sediment on downstream, so they'll get it down in Illinois.
Yeah, that's the bad part. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. That stretch of White River above Spencer, you know, I used to fish that quite a bit, and up by Ramona, you know, where I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
There's a few spots along in there where you can catch smallmouth bass.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really unusual, I think. And I mean, I've caught some smallmouth up in Indianapolis around those dams, you know, up there. But they're very rare up there. They're not so rare down in this stretch.
Darn.
And my friend Ron Nerig was up there trying to float it in his new boat the other day. And he said the water level was really too low for a power boat in that stretch up there. So if you're going to go up there and fish that stretch, a lot of people do. It's rocky in there. Take your canoe or your little rowboat.
Right, right.
Let me see.
Yes, sir.
The level of the river this year, I haven't monitored like you guys do by the inch and foot, but just driving across it every day, I always look, and there'll be banks exposed for maybe 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden we get those heavy rains even north. And then the banks are covered again. And we had a little flooding early this year, of course.
Well, yeah.
Which bothered some of the farmers that are river bottom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I couldn't help but notice driving across country here in the last few weeks. And around here, too, after all of that trouble, rain that we had early for the farmers,
uh-huh.
Man, the crops are knockout in most places. I mean, big
yeah,
corn.
Yeah, they're changing their statistics on corn and beans. Yeah. I read that in the paper the other day. They're reevaluating.
Beans are like, you know, chest high.
Their ranking is pretty high now compared to what early predictions
right.
were.
Well, it's obvious if you're looking.
Yeah.
You know, you drive through that stuff. Driving through the Dakotas, holy cow, their corn was way higher than our corn.
Oh, is that right?
This was early August.
Now, did you see a lot of sunflower seeds?
Oh, yes. And,
they're beautiful, ain't they?
Oh, yeah.
Them fields are nothing but sunflowers.
They're combining those right now.
Are they?
Right. That's how they, we were maybe talking about that here a few weeks ago. But, yeah, they combine them with the same combine you'd use to pick corn or anything else. They just put a different head on it and
go for it.
Oh, those sunflowers are just beautiful.
Well, they are.
Knock your eyes out. Knock your eyes out.
Yeah, field, that'd be a beautiful field.
Yeah, they are.
A thousand, well, not, I don't know where it's thousand, but hundreds of acres. I mean, you look out through there.
Probably is thousands of acres.
It could be, yeah.
Up in northern Indiana, too. They grow them up there, and there's some pretty scenes up in there. So anyway, this is a pretty time of the year. Yeah. If fall is in the air. By the way,
yeah, I breathed a little of it this week.
Yes, sir. It was like 50s, you know, 55.
Yeah, nice
on the way in this morning,
too.
I breathed some. And, you know, my thermostat went out a few days ago. And
in the house?
Wasn't that big a deal. Yeah, in the house. And it took a couple of days to get fixed. And it was nice to have that the windows open at night and cooling everything down. It got a little warm in the afternoon, but wasn't too bad. But that's not what's going to happen next week. You know what's going to happen next week?
It's going to get hot again.
We're going to cook.
Yeah. Right now it's 62 degrees down here in downtown Bloomington, and partly sunny today, high of 77. And then we got some, looks like a little chance of showers on Sunday, and then Monday it's heading up there. By the time Tuesday, high of 91. I hate to say it, but maybe that's what we call Indian summer.
Nah, it's a little early for Indian summer.
Yeah, a little Indian.
Oh, yeah.
This is normal. 90 is normal for this time.
Well, I was a little bit nervous because it cooled off so much.
I was too.
Yeah.
You know, frost ain't very far away, really.
Yeah.
But
I love fall, but bringing a winter on a month early wouldn't suit me very good.
Well, have you heard the Farmer's Almanac, what it's been saying?
I haven't
read
it. Yes,
I have, yes.
Polar
Express.
Express, yeah.
Well, somebody was telling me that, and the persimmons are starting to get ripe. And have you got any persimmon seeds?
No, I do not have.
I haven't checked the seeds yet to find out what the seed says it's going to do. But
The weather forecast says cold and snow.
I heard somebody say that.
Well, that's the Farmer's Almanac. You know. They're right.
I hope that was for a different area.
I hope it was, too, but I don't think it was.
Well, you don't think it was?
It's supposed to start in January, and so we got a few months before it's going to get bad, but they say January, February is going to be a tough one this year.
I hate to hear that.
If I'm not in the hospital, I'll be in Florida when that happens.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'd get out of here, too, if I could.
Man. Well,
those are usually our two toughest months in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can just about depend on them.
January and February.
Being a little mean.
February, you know, when I used to hunt, we called it by another name, February, because hunting season's all in then.
Yeah.
It's too cold to fish. The ice fishing's over, really, you know, and there's nothing to do. Right. Except sit around and twiddle your thumb. Right.
The waiting game.
Count your ginseng roots or you know, whatever you do.
Keep your wood box full.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a full-time job.
It is in them months.
January and February. So, Bill, if the lake is normal on the water level?
Yeah, they say it's 538.1, said, and that's normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
And the temperature was, 77?
Yeah, just a hair over 77 on the surface.
So that's not too bad either. You can still go skinny dipping.
It's still what you would expect.
Yeah.
They had a algae warning, blue-green algae warning out 2 weeks, or last week, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the strangest one that I had ever seen in that they said your pets can swim. Your dog, you can let your dog swim in the lake instead. Or no, you can't let your dogs. That's how it was.
That's the way I heard it.
Yeah, you can't let your dogs and pets swim in the lake.
Right.
But you can go out there
and go swimming.
You can drag your kids around in a ski boat.
Yeah.
Just don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
If they don't want my dog in there, they're not gonna get me in.
Well, I've never heard it backwards like that. You know, they say I went to the DNR site and read what they had to say about it, and in their rundown on blue-green algae, they say dogs and pets are more susceptible to being poisoned because of their smaller size.
Yeah.
And they also get the stuff in their fur, and then when they lick it when they...
I've heard reports that we lost some dogs due to that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But that's now become an annual thing. We had the same thing last year.
Yeah, and I don't. It's not going to get any better.
It doesn't appear to be.
No.
The increasing load of construction down there means more septic tanks, and the increasing logging, that 4,000 acres up in Middle Fork is going to bring a lot of stuff down down into Lake Monroe.
It's not going to improve any. It's going to continue, and I remind everybody, we're drinking that water.
That's right. We're drinking
the chemicals that they put in that water.
Yes. Yes, they can't get it all out either.
No. I mean, you know, it's a shame to say, but maybe it'll get something across to somebody that they'll start doing something about it to clean it up a little.
Well, you know, this has been kind of a topic of discussion since this new outfit, this Lake Monroe...
Friends of Lake Monroe group
came out, which is an IU-focused group, but... They have managed to bring the topic of the polluted water at Lake Monroe into focus a little bit. We weren't we hadn't talked about that at all until this year much.
Much, you know? No.
And now people are talking about it, and all they have to do is do something now.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different story.
And I, you know, of course, they should know where to go, and politics. Politics is what's going to put the hammer to it, and we won't get nowhere. But still, yet at the same time, you got to keep preaching and you got to keep trying.
Well, I figure what happened is it's going to keep getting worse.
Right,
okay? It's going to keep getting worse, and it'll get to the point where it becomes a liability to the state to be in charge of that. Well, the Corps of Engineers owns it. Turn it over to the Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. Let them sell it to the state of California or the Arabs. They can sell the water rights to somebody else. You know? And then it'll be totally washed our hands of it, so to speak. You know, somebody else will own that water, and we'll have to buy it back.
And buy it back, yeah.
Okay, well, I hear music, and there's someone there.
Yeah, I think there's someone there, ain't there, Rich?
Yeah, we got about 40 seconds left before we got to take a break.
Well, we got to take a little break, John.
Yeah, that's
all right. We'll let you rest. And and while we're doing that, you didn't bring any biscuits and gravy, did you, John?
No, I did not.
Oh, doggone it, I thought maybe you'd bring some in.
Well, lucky I got here after after ruining that tire.
Yeah, what you said, we're tickled to death you made it. So anyway, we're going to have to get out of here for a little bit, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM. For South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now it is 62 degrees in downtown Bloomington. Looks like a high of today about 77. Going to be partly sunny tomorrow, a slight chance of showers, 77 also. Then I think we're going to get a little bit something going on Sunday night and into Monday. It's going to be sunny again, 84. going up to 91 in the 90s in the middle part of the week. So that's what's about to happen. So watch out for that hot weather, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors here in Bloomington, Indiana on WFHB.
The money that way he can buy some clothes and he'll go get rid of those. Hey, hey, Bill,
hey there, Bill.
Hey there. that's we're ready to go again.
I guess so. Yeah,
I don't see anything wrong with your clothes.
No,
I don't either. I thought I looked pretty good this morning for a change.
Yeah, he's washed.
Well,
yeah,
he did need
I took a bath,
brushed his hair.
Yeah,
he needs a new amp though.
A new amp?
Yeah, for his music career.
Oh, yeah.
How's that going anyway? You've been kind of retired from that? Or?
Yeah. This fall, winter, I'll get back in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do in the middle of the winter, right?
Right, right. To kind of pass the time.
You still playing your sitar? And your...
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, keeping in practice anyway.
I practice every once in a while now, but when fall starts, I'll get into it a little more.
How's Flop Records doing?
Flop Records
calling
is
you up
doing
now?
Great.
Yeah, okay.
They're right at the top of the charts right now.
Well, I was down there in Tennessee. I'd look for them. I couldn't find them.
Oh, you couldn't?
No.
Well, I should give you the directions for. I didn't know you was going. I'd give you the directions how to get there.
Yeah.
Well, I sure want to know if I was.
You want to go? Well, when you get ready to go, let me draw you a map and all.
I was hoping you'd take me with you.
Well, I can do that if you want to go.
Maybe you can drive the tour bus there.
Well, we'll bring a bunch of fans with us.
Right, right.
You got lots of fans down there on Moffett Lane.
Oh, man, have I.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, have I.
It's always good to have fans.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Well, speaking of fans, you're a longtime listener, John. You've been telling us you'd listen to us probably since the sun came up the first time. And that would have covered back when we were at WGLC and what was the other one?
We've been everywhere.
Right.
We've been everywhere.
Hank Snow.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. And what do you want to say? What do you got to say?
I didn't have a big agenda. I did jot a few things down because I was afraid you was going to call on me. But I was telling you guys about the... farmer round table a guy in Indianapolis organized, and he hasn't given a full report on it yet. He's still trying to organize his notes, he says, but he does a daily show I listen to in the mornings, and he said the farmers are not too upset right now. The ones he's talked to there, he asked several questions of them, and they didn't show a lot of nervousness about the tariff situation. They said they're going to have better crops, as you guys were talking about, and than they expected, and they're pretty satisfied with that. They think prices are going to be down, and I mentioned on break there's been a swine flu epidemic in China, and China's pretty close-mouthed about things, but they released some figures. They've lost 72 million swine, and that affects us. How? That affects soybean meal sales, which we are big in here.
Well, that's a tariff anyway. So. Yeah. And, you know, China is the largest number of swine of any country in the world by far.
Well, if they could lose 72 million and still have some.
Yeah, they've got a lot of them.
They say Indiana doesn't have 72 million right now.
Well, I'm sure they don't.
Yeah.
And that deal in China, I read someplace here not too long ago that they have like 2 billion pigs there. So
you think how many people they got to feed?
Whoa, three billion or 300? How many billion do they have?
I don't know for sure.
I don't know either.
It's in the billions.
Yes.
Well, we'll look that up here, and I know before we get off the air.
Yeah.
And Wow. That's a lot of pigs.
Yeah, well, if you can lose $72 million and still have pigs, it just amazed me.
Well, the same thing happens with chickens over there.
Yeah, bird flu.
They wipe out the chickens left and right when they have a flu show up. And, you know, we got the combo of swine and chickens and humans all together. That's not a good prescription for a healthy planet. But anyway, what else are they saying up there at this Indianapolis?
Well, that's basically what I heard about the farm, and he's going to talk about it all next week, so I'll try to make some notes and call in some points if I hear them. I did see where Purdue University has created a pamphlet on water management, ponds, and small lakes. And they, what I saw must have been on Wish TV, because they said you could go to wishtv.com for a link to either getting or reading that pamphlet. And it's supposed to cover water conditioning, vegetation, and fish management. So I know sometimes universities and governments come up with a lot of things that don't make all the sense in the world to us, but at least it's nice somebody's thinking about water quality.
They're thinking about it, but they're not doing much about it.
Well, you know, you guys just brought that up last little session here, and the way I look at that, the problem is it's easier to have good ideas than it is to get good funding.
Yes.
And once Buddy mentioned bringing in, Buddy Bill mentioned bringing in the government, and then all of a sudden we got a slowdown, and that's the way it works almost every time.
Yeah, it that's normally the way it works. I mean, you got to get by politics first, and that's a big hurdle.
It is. Yeah. It's the hurdle to everything.
Yep,
it's the hurdle to everything.
And it shouldn't be. I mean, I really don't understand part of it. We're talking about people's health.
Well, that ought to show you what the government thinks about people's health.
Well, that's what they think about people.
I agree.
Period.
When they're running for office, they care about our health.
Yeah.
When they're in office, they got other things to worry about.
Yeah. Their pocketbook. Yeah.
Well, just like it's been several years ago now, a guy was running for office here, and he stopped by my place and, of course, trying to get my vote, of course, and this, like I said, been several years ago. I was talking about the pollution of the water in Lake Monroe, houseboats dumping all their garbage in there, and septic systems running in, and we sat down and I explained to him how they could control the houseboats from dumping all their sewage into the lake and stuff. And he agreed and said he was going to take care of that. And you know what?
Nothing ever happened.
I ain't talked to the guy since. Yeah. He don't even speak to me.
Never saw him again.
No, he don't even speak to me.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You never got a follow-up card?
No. So anyway, you try to talk to these people and explain things to them and see and let their ideas go with yours and come up with something, but they just turn a deaf ear to it and off on the high road to go.
What was that word?
Deaf ear.
Deaf?
Deaf.
Or a deaf ear.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A deaf ear is the same thing as a deaf ear, but I use the word deaf because I don't like deaf.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can spell deaf with two E's. You don't have to worry about that A.
That's right.
That's all right, Bill.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's
a shame that politics has to play a big part in everything.
It plays a big part in everything.
Everything.
Right?
Yeah, it does. And it's a shame, but
everybody from little kids to people dying in the home, you know, mm-hmm. It's all affected.
All affected, yeah.
That's everybody. Right. Everybody is.
And unfortunately, it's not just the federal government. It's all the way down to.
Oh, yeah.
The,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you go to state, county, and city, and town, and you run into the same problems.
Yep. Well, sure do.
Those of us who live around Bloomington, but not in Bloomington, are extremely critical of the city, mainly the new mayor's method of running things. But I don't know if our county government's any better. They might be, but I'm not sure.
Well,
you know,
the thing of it is, the ones we're electing really has no idea of what's going on.
I agree.
Mean, it's a proven fact. I mean, just read what they're doing, and it's a proven fact that they actually don't know what's going on.
Well, you're probably right, but what bothers me a lot about that is, in county and town, you're electing people that live there that are supposed to be just like the rest of us. And then once they get there, they don't.
They turn
operate.
Out, their personality changes, doesn't it?
Big time.
It's like the old saying that they want to clean up the swamp, and then when they get there, they decide it's a hot tub and they love it.
Right, they are the swamp.
Yeah.
They become the swamp. Well, that's the way. That's just the way it goes. You remember when George Herbert Walker Bush was president?
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident where he went into a grocery store and got up to the counter to scan an item and didn't know what to do. He had never been in a grocery store
before. Oh, I believe
before.
That. I believe
so
that.
So that's what's going on. That's who's running us.
Uh-huh.
That kind of person. They just do not have an idea of what's going on out there. They just do not. Well, in any case.
Well, and especially when you talk about the environment.
That's a forgotten subject.
Lake Monroe doesn't seem to. You know, we've talked for years about how other lakes in various states in Iowa and wherever run their reservoirs so much better and nicer. And I don't know what the problem is. It's such a beautiful lake. There should be so much more going on down
there. I'll tell you what the problem is. It's Indiana.
Yeah.
We're like 48th of the 48 lower 48 in environmental ratings in every aspect, in air and water. Toxic discharges, we're the biggest toxic discharger in the country. It's hard to believe that we're in that position, considering what you see down along the Gulf Coast, you know, with all those refineries and chemical companies. But we're it. That's the problem. That is it.
That's a big problem.
We've always had that problem. The IDEM is pretty much just something that sets up there in Indianapolis and issues a pronouncement every once in a while.
Well, they just pick on the little guy and let the big guy go.
Well, you see, they dumped a bunch of cyanide up at Lake Michigan here not too long ago. I bet you nothing happens to it. It was a steel company, I think.
That'd be the end of that. You won't hear no more about that. No,
well, there's something going on up around Indianapolis right now where one area is getting a lot of oil dumped in through the sewer system, and they can't trace it, supposedly.
Well, that's a typical industrial thing. When I worked for the paper up in northwest Indiana, you know, you're constantly going out to these refineries especially, discharge a lot of really toxic stuff, and they have these access points where that stuff's coming out, and you can open up the gate and look down in there, and then they dump soda in it to try to neutralize the acid coming out of there, just by the, I don't know, ton, I guess.
Well, that's just like treating your water you guys are talking about.
Right.
If you use enough chemicals, you can probably hide about anything.
Right.
And of course that stuff with the acid, you know, you pour the alkali in, you pour the acid in, the pipes don't last very long.
Oh, no.
So no. They're constantly having to replace pipes in those places, and they don't do it all that often, and there's not very much anybody watching them.
Well, it's...
So, there you have it.
It's a mess.
How about... Hey, I got a little different topic here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Did you know there is such a thing as the U.S. Advisor, let's see what it's called here. Wildlife Protection Board. Donald Trump's Wildlife Protection Board is full of people who like killing animals for fun. Okay.
I saw that, yeah.
Read that again. That don't make
sense. Donald Trump's Wildlife Protection Board is full of people who like killing animals for fun.
They're trophy hunters.
Yeah.
And canned hunters.
Canned hunters, trophy hunters, whatever.
There's a picture of one of them on here. Y'all can't see it, but anyway, they look just like you might imagine.
Well, it's not much of a protection organization, is it?
No. I'm going to read to you what Associated Press found. Review by Associated Press on the backgrounds and social media posts of the 16 board members appointed by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke indicates they are likely to agree with his position that the best way to protect critically threatened or endangered species is by encouraging wealthy Americans to shoot some of them.
That's trophy hunters.
One appointee co-owns a private New York hunting preserve, that's your canned hunting place, with Mr. Trump's adult sons. The oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., drew the ire of animal rights activists after a 2011 photo emerged of him holding a bloody knife and the severed tail of an elephant he killed in Zimbabwe.
Oh, my.
Well, that's probably a good place to hear that music break. I'm getting sick reading this.
Yeah. Well, there's more of your politics.
There you are.
I'm not sure that's the way to control animals.
No, that I don't believe it is.
Well, that's always the way the wildlife guys, you know, the hunter guys, yeah. The trophy guys. That's the way they always say, well, get rid of it or something. We won't have that problem.
Yeah, well, we won't when they're all
When they're all
gone.
Dead, yeah. Oh, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw this morning when I opened the door of my house, a cicada killer was buzzing around the door. First one I've seen all year.
Killer.
A cicada killer. It's like
some
a great
wasp. Big wasp.
Big wasp. Great big wasp.
Well, I've been darned.
You never seen one?
We got to take a break.
Yep.
All right.
We'll talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
So don't go away. John's going to fix some biscuits and gravy, and we'll be right back.
Yeah,
right.
Lots of gravy.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It has gone down 2 degrees. It's now 59 degrees downtown Bloomington. Beautiful morning, and it's going to be partly sunny today. High of 77. Same with tomorrow, getting a little bit more close into a chance of showers towards the evening, and then Monday will be high of 84, nice and sunny. Hot on Tuesday with 91 and 90 on Wednesday. So basically warm up this week, but not too bad for September. We don't want fall coming here too early, as we were just talking about. And you are listening here to WFHB.
It ain't a bunch of beans serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, big pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon.
All right, where is it?
Yeah, we're back.
We're back now.
Where's the bacon and egg?
Well, we done eat them.
It's gone.
They're gone.
Man, I didn't even smell it.
Well, we're pretty fast around here, buddy.
And yeah. We want to mention, by the way, that we are a call-in show, and you can call us at area code 812-323-1200.
Yeah, and we did just have a caller, but I couldn't answer because I was doing the break. So if you want to call back, caller,
yeah, call back,
I'll be glad to put you on the air.
Yeah, please do, especially if you're Alan. I know you told me you would call this morning. Something about poison oak.
Poison oak.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He says there's a voracious outbreak of poison oak this year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't want to get close to it.
Hadn't heard that, but...
It has. I looked up last night after I saw his message that poison oak has the highest percentage of urseol, I can't pronounce it. That's the chemical in poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, et cetera, that causes the skin irritation. And a poison oak has the most of it of any of those plants.
Hey, we got Alan on the phone.
Oh, good.
Oh, Alan.
Hello.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
How are you this morning?
Well, I'm itching like crazy. I happened to be out into the woods a couple of weeks ago cutting down some standing dead trees, and, of course, they had poison oak all over them.
Oh, my.
And I thought I had myself covered up, and, you know, I wasn't going to do too bad. I haven't had a history of having a lot of poison oak over the years, but I did kind of a little bit of a deep dive on poison oak, you know, just because I was a little surprised I got this. I knew it was poison oak, and this year, sometimes you notice it, but, you know, the persimmons are heavy, the everything that makes a bud or a seed or a flower just got really heavy and thick this year. So the poison oak that's out there is really potent, really bulky, and it's really easy to get yourself caught up in. And what's interesting is the treatment. I mean, over the years, I mean, I'm a pharmacist, so, you know, I've certainly recommended my fair share of Calamine and Benadryl and all kinds of things that that people pick up over the counter, in addition to having heard, you know, countless stories of homemade remedies for people who get poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. And the reality of it really is that there are three things really that I kind of took away from this, and that's that even if you weren't really particularly allergic to poison oak and maybe in sumac, it all has the same compound, which is urushiol. When you're younger, you get older, your body's immune system breaks down, and that allergic reaction actually is worse than it was when you were younger. So I'm finding that out myself. I rarely used to get poison oak, poison ivy. Now I'm getting it, you know, anytime, especially if I'm burning it. So, like, I'll take the pieces that I'm not going to put in the firewood that's got poison oak all over it. I'll just burn them with the brush. Well, if you stand around the brush pile all day, that oil just saturated into the air and blows right over on you, and you will get it wherever that oil touches you.
Absolutely.
And the second thing is just that if you're using chainsaw, weed whip, whatever, to cut that stuff down, it does get all over the plastic handles and doesn't go anywhere. So if you don't wipe down the handles with something that will get the oil off of it, every time you pick up that saw for the next several weeks or months, you reinfect yourself. And when people see that they get poison oak and it's lasting for 2, 3, 4 weeks, it's not because the poison oak probably has lasted that long. It's that you are reinfecting yourself by touching the same things that you were touching when you were originally in contact with it.
Yeah, Alan, I have something just to add to that. That Eucerol, how do you pronounce that?
Urushiol.
That compound was used by the Japanese in ancient times and right up through today to paint over the gilded image, the statuary or carvings, whatever they had, at various Shinto temples in Japan, so that people couldn't put their hands on it and steal the gold gilt without coming up with poison ivy or poison oak. So it lasts for a long time.
There you go. You know, it certainly would be a deterrent. I would just say that the surprising thing to me as I got to looking into this is that the things you buy in the drugstore, the Calamine, Benadryl, absolutely, even 1% hydrocortisone cream, really has very little effect on it. They're worthless. They really don't do a good enough job. They're not strong enough to stop the itching caused by that reaction. And what you really need to do is to call your doctor up. The last thing he's going to want to do is to see you in his waiting room with a case of poison oak. You know, he's got more important things to talk to. But call your doctor up, call your nurse practitioner or whatever, and say, listen, I need a Lydex cream or a very potent steroidal cream that's prescription only. That's about the only thing that's going to have the strength to do that. The other thing that's useful, not the only thing that's useful in the drugstore, is something called Check New, which is a pumice-based oil.
There you go.
That when you come in out, you can leave it in your shower all summer, and when you come in from working outside, if you use that religiously, that will abrade and solvate that oil off of your skin so that you won't actually get it. After a couple of hours, it's probably worked its way through the dermis of the skin, and you're probably going to get a reaction from it. What I started doing is, and I think the most effective way I found is to buy those little, I think they're Gojo or Goop. You get them in the auto store, and they use them to, they're pumice impregnated gloss.
There you go.
Yeah, that wipe the oil off of mechanics' hands. Those are brilliant to use. They're not nearly as expensive as the TechU stuff that you buy at the drugstore either. I keep those out in the barn, and I keep them everywhere I go. And when just every hour or so, I will pull one of those out, wipe my arms and hands and neck. And if I'm in shorts, I'll wipe my legs down too. That's really gone a long way to keep me from getting reinfected, because poison oak is everywhere. And I just thought I'd pass that along today, because I had no luck doing the things that I thought I knew from years ago and treating it. It just wasn't working. And sure enough, I managed to get my doctor to write me a prescription for Lydex cream. I started using these wipe downs, and I wipe down, after I get done putting my hands with them, I will wipe my chainsaw handle down, I will wipe my weed whip handle down. And I really cut back on what really is a really bad year for poison oak.
Well, thanks, Alan. That's a lot of good information. And I think that those pumice pads that you're talking about, that's really what turned the corner for me when I had a bad case a couple of years ago. Just scrubbing those that rash. And the kit that I had something like liquid bandage or fingernail polish remover that you put on it to keep the air off of it, I guess. Is that what that would be for?
Yeah, that might have been for chiggers. We used to use fingernail polish to put over chiggers to drown them. I'm not sure. Once again, I think you can take any of these home remedies that people have come up with, and you can throw them all out the window. They literally have no effect on the issue, on you getting it, on it making it worse. And the last thing you want is to scratch those enough so that they come open, because you put a steroid cream on an open cut and it's going to end up getting infected, and then you're just compounding your problem over and over again. So it really needs to be handled one way, and that's, you know, some kind of strong cream. First of all, try not to get it, try to wipe it off before it becomes a problem. But you start itching, you may as well not screw around with all those.
I agree with you. You're absolutely right.
Hey, real quick, we've been talking about chiggers, and it's getting a little bit past the season, but what would you recommend for if you do get bit real bad or you know, and you start itching and everything, what's the best way to treat that?
Yeah, you know, I treat chiggers the same way we treat lice. You know, I'll go get some sheep dip or something like that at the co-op. It's much stronger than Lindane is actually what I use, and you can get it at the co-op. It's sheep dip. It's two or 10%. I can't remember. We don't have a co-op here, but if you go to Rural King or someplace and look for Lindane, which is what they use for sheep dip, because it will kill them, and that's what you want to do. Now, having said that, they do impregnate your dermis with some of their spit that's got some proteins in it that cause a reaction. So there again, your Lydex cream, which you probably should have around the house all the time anyway, is a great thing to put over the top of that. That's the only thing really that's going to end up working. The first thing you got to do though is kill those chiggers, because they're still there. It's not like they bite you and leave. They burrow in, and then you really got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
So use Lindane, and like I said, it's old sheep dip. the stuff that we use for lice now that you get over the counter is just worthless. It doesn't kill lice. The lice are immune to it. Chiggers are a hardier breed than lice are anyway.
Right.
First of all, they're buried into your skin and they're hard to get. So you need something that's going to soak into there. And you know, you don't want to paint your body with it because it is a little bit toxic. We do dip she venom up to their neck, but you probably don't want to do that to yourself. But you need to get chiggers two or three times a year. Having a bottle of lindane around and then some Vitex cream to put on it after they're dead is probably the way to go.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for that. That's good advice.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate
you guys.
You.
Listen, have a great weekend. I'm heading to work.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Have a good day at work.
Hey, thanks.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, Alan knows his stuff. He was a pharmacist.
Well, that's good. Good information. And,
yeah, there's a lot of good information in what he's talking about. Mm. That's something I didn't bring up, but if he's still listening, he might comment on it some other time. But Mom always said, I got poison ivy pretty easily when I was young, and I was out in the areas where it was. But she always made me wash. She had a bar of lye soap, and she always made me wash with the lye soap after I'd been out in the woods or the
brush. Well,
that
can't hurt anything.
It seemed to help. It seemed like I got less on the days that I remembered to do that. Yeah. So I still do that.
Well, I think is any kind of soap and water will help. Lye's pretty strong.
A little stronger, yeah. My wife and I used to make lye soap.
I was going
to
ask you if you ever made any lye soap.
Yeah.
I remember making some at my grandma's house when I was a kid. And man, it's potent.
Yeah.
Potent.
You got to be a little careful. Yeah. It gets hot when it's curing. I mean, you just feel the heat coming off.
Hey guys, we got one more phone call here.
Well, good.
And I told him we're running out of time, but he wanted to get on real quick, so here
Fine.
We go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I heard you guys talking about the VA earlier.
Yes.
Well, I'm a Vietnam vet with Agent Orange and all that, and I've had a 3-year relationship with the VA, and I just want to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
They're the best I've ever encountered.
I'm with you,
good.
Man. I'm with you. You going to Indianapolis, are you?
No, I go to Louisville to the VA there.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, I've been involved with numerous of the VA hospitals, and I've found them to all be good. And don't believe all of this political stuff you hear against the VA on TV.
That's exactly right. I'm going to let you go. I know it's close. I just want to tell you I enjoy your show, and thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yes,
call
sir.
Again.
Okay, bye.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Well, he's talking about that poison ivy. They used to say that the milk out of milkweed
would cure it.
Would cure it.
I've heard that.
But it don't work on me.
It doesn't work on me.
I never tried it. So.
And it's sticky.
I tried it years ago when I was younger. And
recommend washing with lye soap after you've been exposed to anything. And
I'd say you're probably closer to any cure there.
I don't know that it's a cure, but it's sure cut it down for
I'd
me.
I'd say it's a preventative for sure.
Preventative, yeah.
As Dan said, you probably could wash off with any good strong soap. Anytime you wash your contaminant off, you're protecting yourself.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's what we don't do. We go out and peddle around, and then we forget about it for 3 hours, and then we got it.
Yep. That's right.
It's a good idea to wash yourself up when you come out
that's
no matter what you're doing.
First thing you want to do.
When I was a kid and over in my grandma's house in Illinois, when we'd come in from playing out in the cornfield, you know, no chiggers in there, eh? We'd get in the bathtub and she'd pour like a half a bottle of salt in it and stir it around real good, and we'd take salt baths, and that seemed to work pretty well, you know. I've never heard of anybody else doing that, but
no, I've heard of using Epsom salts for different things.
Yeah, well,
which is a type of salt.
I mean, salt's pretty potent stuff too.
Yes,
yeah.
So it is corrosive and et cetera. Yeah. So you know, that's something to keep in mind. Although, you know, once you got a chigger, those little devils.
Yeah, they just dig in and just stay there and just itch.
They just.
Alan mentioned burning some ivy and or oak poison mm-hmm. oak, and that being a problem. Worst case I ever had was in my 20s. I was helping a guy clear a fence row, and we burnt the brush. There was a lot of ivy in it, and I swelled up like a toad.
I mean, I bet.
I had it in my ears on everywhere. Everything that was exposed, and some things that weren't.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I never got it as bad as I used to after I had that dose of it.
That's often the case, I think. It's kind of like a vaccination.
I think it must have been, because I've been very less available to
it. I used to have the same deal and had it real bad once. Yeah, that could be something to that, but there's not a lot of research going on poison ivy.
No, and I kind of hated what he said that Alan said, when we get older, we lose some resistance.
Oh, we definitely do. They tell me that every time I go into the doctor's office.
Well, you're older. Your immune system isn't as good as it used to be.
Well, it may not be.
Well, I'm sure it isn't.
Probably not.
I'm sure it isn't.
Well, hey, we're running out of time, and I do want to thank John for coming in this morning. It's great to meet you, and it's been really fun to have you here.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
And maybe you can make her in and get
another
sometime.
I'd
enjoy that, as long as I don't blow a tire.
Don't blow a tire and don't run over any concrete. And
and we'll take you back to your car.
Yeah. So we got to get out of here. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks again to John for being in here and entertaining us this morning. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
See you, Bill.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich.
So thanks everybody for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.